I'm here today on Wednesday, May 3rd, 2006, interviewing Thalia Wheelton Fisher. I'm in her lovely home, which she has just built recently, she and her husband, Tony. And it's a beautiful house located directly behind the carnival grounds on Chincoteague. Good morning, Thalia. How are you?
I'm fine, Ann. How are you today?
Fine, thank you. I really appreciate you allowing me to come into your home and interview you for the Chincoteague Island Library Oral History Project.
That's a great idea, I think, for the library to have a history project, because there's a lot of history in Chincoteague.
Yes, thank you. All right, Thalia, could you tell me where and when you were born?
I was born here, right on this lot in the old house, on March the 6th, 1929.
Okay. And can you share with me a little bit about your family history on the island, please?
Well, we were quite a large family. It ended up being 8 children. I was the 4th. We had a dairy farm here on the property, which was 15 acres more or less, but we rented other property for feeding the cattle. We did this until I was halfway through the 8th grade. At that time, my parents sold the dairy herd. My father worked as a security guard at Naval Air Base, and my mother had a store up at her parents' property up on Church Street.
Okay, now can you back up and let me know who were your parents?
My mother was Blanche Merritt Wheelton. My father, John Sidney Wheelton. My grandparents on my father's side, Daniel Wheelton and Betty Wheelton. My mother's parents were Merritts. They were Harriet Merritt and
okay, now who were they? You were telling me about your grandparents.
Well, my grandmother, Harriet Merritt, was a conner before she married my grandfather.
Okay.
And they lived up on Church Street.
Okay. And, all right, and you're located now on Willow Street. And when you were a child, how many boys and girls were in your family?
Well, until 1933, there were 2 boys and 4 girls. And then in 1933, the 5th girl was born.
Okay.
And it wasn't until 1937 that the 3rd boy was born.
Wow. Wow. You had a big family.
Indeed, we did.
Wow. Now, what was it like as a child growing up on Chincoteague in the time that you grew up? What did you do? What did your day consist of as a small child?
Well, at the age of 5, I was milking cows by hand. We had no electricity.
Wow.
We were beyond the electrical lines.
Okay.
So I was milking cows. We pumped all the water by hand. We helped clean all the stalls. Everything by hand. My father planted with a mule, and we reaped from what he planted.
Okay.
We had a garden, and when I was a little older, I canned a lot of food.
Did you? Now, how old were you when you started canning?
About 12.
About 12. Now, what did canning consist of then? What was the process that was used?
It was a hot water bath.
Okay.
And I did all kinds of vegetables that we got from the garden, and my father in the fall would kill a hog, and we would cook that just a little bit and put it in the jars and can it.
Okay.
For winter.
What was the process that he went through to do all that?
He, like other people on the island in a hog killing, had friends come over, and they did the real old-fashioned hog killing with the great big pot.
Okay.
And my grandmother would come over, and she made soap from some of the lard from this pig. People took some shares as they went.
Uh-huh.
They went home with tenderloin and things to eat that first night.
Now, what did the process consist of everybody coming together? How did the men do it? What did they do?
They knew that they had to hit the pig in the head to immobilize him and actually kill him.
Oh.
And then they had to scald him in this big pot and take all the hair off him. And they left the skin because the bacon had the skin on it.
Okay.
And the internal organs, they used some of them as well.
Okay.
And cut everything up and did pieces for different people. And then we canned a lot of it.
That's so neat. Now, as a child, was it like a special time? Did you look forward to that day?
Oh, yes. We look forward sometimes with trepidation because we knew it was a hard day's work.
Okay. What did you have to do as the children? Did you have any kind of part in it?
We had to keep the water coming by pumping the water for them.
Okay.
And run little errands for them. You take this somewhere, you take that somewhere else.
Okay.
So we had to run those errands and make sure that the stuff was brought into the house where it was taken care of.
Okay, now what was the women's part in this?
The cooking. They would cook some of this. You cooked it only a little bit before you canned it.
You did? Yeah, tell me about that process because I've never seen that done. I've done canning of vegetables and fruits. And
well, they would fry a little bit, fry it a little bit. And then the grease would cover it completely when you put it in to can it in that hot water bath. Because you put that hot water bath, all the grease that's in there is going to dissolve. But then when you can it and you put it away, the grease forms on the outside of it, helps to preserve it.
Okay, and what kind of containers did they use?
Jars. Mason jars.
Mason jars, the same. Okay.
Mason jars. And they had the zinc tops.
They did?
Yes.
Wow.
The rubber around the top.
Seal, right.
The rubber seal and the zinc tops.
Okay, that's interesting. Now, did they do anything, did you have any special houses where they smoked anything? Or
we didn't here on this property.
Okay.
No, we didn't here. We just put it away in jars.
Okay. And where did you store it?
In the old house and under the old house, wherever we could find space.
Okay. And how long would something like that last?
Through the winter into the spring.
Okay.
Of course, Daddy did hang hams. I think he salted them and would hang the hams.
He did?
In the building.
Did you have a lot of outbuildings and stuff at that time?
Yes.
Did you have a barn here?
Oh, there were several barns.
Can you tell me a little bit of visual? Take me back and tell me exactly what it looked like as far as...
Well, there was a number of barn or stables out on the northern part of the property. Some of the stables having divisions in them where the calf would stay on one side and the mother of the cow on the other side.
Okay.
It formed like a U around the part of the property. And then there were two milking stalls. And then later on, Daddy added to that by building a whole new milking barn.
Wow.
And that's the one that is there now. It's Red Barn. It's still there.
Okay. Yes, I've seen that. Okay. And how far did your property go at that time? Where? Can you give me like a little visual picture here?
15 acres more or less. There was a huge pine tree in the back of it, and you got back. I used to go back there as a child and climb up that pine tree.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I'm going up that pine tree, and I'm going to oversee my realm.
Oh, that's it.
That was my fantasy.
Uh-huh.
To oversee my realm. But there's a little over 300 feet on the front. Okay. Across the frontier, and they went back that far.
Did you own where the Baptist church is now?
No. Mr. Morris Thornton owned that.
Okay.
And he owned property down at the end of the street, on Mill Street and Bunting Road.
Okay.
And we leased that, and that's where my father planted either rye or corn for the cattle.
Okay. So did you have different pasture for each season? Did you...
It was divided. This property was divided up into pasture. We would let the cows go in one area and graze there, and that while the other rested.
Right.
And then we would turn around and put them in the area that had rested, and let the other area grow.
Now, was this body of water called Fowler's Gut? Was that back there when you were a child, or was that
the body of water was put back there after I left. What it was a mosquito ditch.
Okay.
Dug all the way up so that the water would drain out from up Church Street in that area.
Okay.
Now, there were some glades back there. One was the big glade, and the other was a small glade back on our property.
Okay.
Back there. But not Fowler's Ditch, not to my knowledge.
Okay.
It may have been called that later.
So your land, did it go across where the creek is now?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Back for a number of yards back beyond that, because there's a little glade back there.
Okay.
And the big glade is included now in the ditch.
Okay.
So, and the part that goes over from this lane going back is not where we went over before.
Okay.
We went over next to our fence line, went back, and they over across the ditch. And that was a WPA project.
Okay.
That they put in there to drain that.
How about that? That's really cool.
So yeah. That was put in well before I left, and it wasn't until after I left that they moved that down here. In fact, it wasn't until after my mother died that they made the lane down this
way. And when did you leave, just to give an idea?
In 1946, after I graduated.
Okay. Now, I want to ask you some questions about what did you do for fun as a child? Did you work all the time, or what did your day consist of?
We worked a lot, but then we had time, like in the afternoon, that we would play Cowboys and Indians, Cops and Robbers, and since we put a bottle of the milk had little cardboard stoppers.
Okay.
And that was our money to get out of jail.
That's good. That's really good. Now, what other kind of things did you play? Did you have, like, girls' games or...
No, hopscotch, things like that.
Play dolls? You play hopscotch? Play dolls, too? Did you make dolls? Or?
No, we didn't have much in the way of dolls. When we got something, it was for all the girls together.
Such as? Can you give me...
If we got a doll, then somebody else might have gotten the little bed for the doll. And that was community property, more or less, for the children.
Oh, that's sweet. So somebody, each of them got a part, so everybody had to share.
Everybody had it.
Sweet. How about the guys? What did they do? Anything special?
Well, I know my brothers got guns when they got older.
Right.
But cap guns when they were little.
So did they go hunting? Or what were their pastimes?
As they were older, my younger brother, he's older than I, but he used to do trapping of muskrat. Back on the property.
Okay.
And the older brother was always going out to fish or to clam or crab or something like that.
What was your older brother's name?
Herman.
Herman. And your younger brother?
It was Jack.
Jack, okay. Mm-hmm. Do you have any special stories that you remember as a child, Thalia?
I remember we had to rake up chips for the stove, because we cooked with a wood stove.
You did cook with
in the wintertime, kerosene stove in the summertime. And I remember we were raking up chips, and the rake hit my younger sister's finger.
What was her name?
Mary.
Okay.
And in a couple of weeks, she became very rigid. My mother called a nurse, her friend who lived up town, and she came down and told my mother, you better get her at the hospital, because she has tetanus lockjaw. And she was in the hospital for, I think, about 3 weeks there at Massawattocks.
Wow.
She was lucky. She had lost one of her front teeth.
Uh-huh.
And they fed her by putting a straw in her mouth through that place where the tooth was.
That is sicky. So she was there for about three weeks
in the hospital.
Wow.
And I gave her maximum doses of antitoxin.
Wow. And she was fine after that?
She was fine, but she was always cold. She couldn't seem to get warm. She would wear a sweater in the summertime.
Wow. How old was she when this happened?
About eight.
Okay.
Seven or eight, something like that.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to talk a little bit more about the dairy farm. Okay. Now, you told me about the buildings and stuff that you had on the property. Can you tell me about what a day was like on the dairy farm?
Well, a day on the dairy farm, we got up around 4 in the morning. And we'd go out and we would milk our maximum number of cows to be milked at any one time was about 26 to 28. After we milked, we brought it in and we bottled it.
Okay.
And then we came in and had our breakfast.
Okay.
And we got in the car with Daddy and went out and delivered this milk before we ever went to school.
Wow.
Many times in delivering, I was late for school.
Okay.
And this one particular teacher said to me, I have to punish you because another student was waiting for me to get there because he was late, and he would come in with me thinking, well, the teacher won't punish me because I'm going in with failure. So she says, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to punish you too. So she did, and that broke it up with the other student. Well, that student came on time after that, but I still at times was late. Because of the whole area that we covered.
Where was the area that you covered? Because
the whole island.
You did? Because I thought, were there other people that were in?
Yes. There was Mr. Mercy Birch, Bill Birch's father.
What was his name?
Mercy.
Birch? What, how do you spell it?
I don't know, B-E-R-S-I-I-E okay. or something like that. I don't know. But it was Mr. Mercy Birch. And he had a dairy farm, too.
And where was he located?
It was down the island somewhere. I don't remember exactly where.
Okay.
But he also. And then there was another one, but I don't remember where that was. So I don't think that I ever knew.
Okay.
All I knew is that we had our customers, and we delivered our customers. A cute little thing. We were really poor, so we didn't get food that often. Couldn't afford it with all the children. And I can remember Mr. Henderson, who had a peanut store on Main Street. And he lived a number of houses north of that. And I would deliver milk to him. And then every week or so, at the top of the return bottle would be either an orange or a banana.
It's so sweet.
So he knew that we couldn't afford all this, so he would leave that for me.
That is so sweet.
And I appreciated that because, I didn't get food.
Right. And your area consisted all over the island?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
So how did you divide it up? I mean, how did you get there? First of all, did you have a horse and a cart?
No, we had
a car.
No, Model T. And Daddy had taken the door off so that we could just grab the bottle and run and deliver it. And many times in the wintertime, we would go through our entire route, and on our way back, we would see where we had left milk. Where it was so cold, it froze in the milk and popped the top, put the cream on top.
We had milk delivered at our house when I was growing up, and I remember that too. I think that's interesting. Did you have milk boxes?
No.
You put them when
just
you put them
on
the
step. Just put them on step.
How about that? That's interesting. So I guess you were the kids worn out by the time you got home. Did everybody partake in this, or were there only certain kids that went on the route?
Certain kids went on the route, and I was on the route more than the others because I was older than the others, the other girls.
Okay.
And the boys were home cleaning stalls and things till they went to school.
Oh, okay. So
we had to divide up
work.
We had to divide up the chores.
Okay. Wow. That's a lot to that.
And then on Saturday we would go and collect.
Okay.
And that was
the good time.
And after we collected, we'd go up to Mr. Caltwilly's store and we'd settle up with him because we bought all of our feed from him.
Okay.
And we'd settle up with him. And I can remember.
Where was Caltwilly's store located?
North Main.
On North Main Street.
Yes.
Okay. Up on Lewis Creek? Up on the creek?
No. It's before you get to the new high school.
Okay. On the left? Going north?
Yes.
Okay, so on the creek then. Okay.
So,
on Lewis Creek.
Anyhow, we'd go up there and pay off. And if he had bananas that he'd had them for the week and they were turning brown, he would let my mother have them for almost nothing. And then we would have a feast of bananas.
Did you make banana bread?
No, my mother didn't bake that much.
She didn't bake that much? She probably didn't have time, did she?
I had too many chores to do.
Now, I know your mom was really active, too. If she had a store, did this store, she start that after the dairy farm?
Yes.
Or was okay.
Yes.
That wasn't during. I imagine her hands were full.
It was after the dairy farm. When my father went to work for the Naval Air Station as a security guard.
Okay.
At the store. And she had tenants upstairs in the store. And the store is where Sally's funeral home is now.
Okay.
And my grandmother lived in the house. And I used to go up and spend the night with my grandmother because she had already broken her hip by coming down the steps one time. So she had her bed in what we called the living room or sitting room.
Right.
And I would go up and stay all night with her. And then I would walk home in the morning, help with milk and things, and then deliver. And then we'd come home for lunch because we had no cafeteria.
Okay.
And have our lunch and then go back and then come home after school. And then after chores when things were done, I'd go back and stay with grandma all night.
Wow, that's neat. Now, what did your mother sell in her store?
Well, she had a lunch counter.
That's what I thought. That's what I heard.
Had soups and things. And then she got into wallpaper.
Okay, so she served lunch. And she had wallpaper.
Yes.
And so did any of the kids from the school come over and get certain things for lunch?
Well, not too many of them because there was also where the Catholic Church is now.
Right.
Was used as a lunchroom.
Okay, that's on Church Street.
On Church Street there. Yes.
Huh?
And that was used as a lunchroom so the kids could go there and have their lunch. They would bring their lunch.
Okay.
There was no cafeteria. You brought your lunch.
Okay.
And I can remember one of the students I went to school with didn't go there and do that. She would get to Mr. Roy Toy's store, which was next door, and get a great big pickle and crackers, and that would be for lunch.
And how much did that cost in those days?
Well, I think the pickle probably cost a couple cents and the crackers a penny or something.
Uh-huh.
You could get a big piece of candy for a penny.
Uh-huh.
And so what we did on Friday, we would get a penny beside our plate at home. And so we'd go back to Mr. Truly's store and we would buy the most candy we could get for a penny.
Oh, that's great. That is great. That's wonderful. I was interested in knowing, did you just sell the milk to the people house to house? Or I know they had a lot of neighborhood stores on the island. Or did you sell it also to the neighborhood stores?
We sold it also to the stores. I can remember Mr. Cunningham's store on Main Street. He used to buy our milk.
Okay. Why did your father eventually stop at this business?
Well, my brother, the two brothers had already left home.
Okay, now the two brothers are Herman
and Jack.
And Jack, and they'd gone to service?
Gone in service.
Okay, was there a war taking place?
There was World War II at this time.
World War II?
They went in the Navy, both of them.
Both of them went in, okay.
And my sister had left. She was in Wilmington, Delaware. She'd gone to Goldie Beacom and become a secretary up there.
Okay, now what was your sister's
name? Loretta.
Loretta, okay.
She's the older. And so we didn't have that much help anymore.
So your labor force. Okay.
So Daddy decided, well, we'll sell the herd, and he says, now I'll get a job. In fact, he got the job before we sold the herd.
Okay.
And he said,
when did the base come in?
Base came in the early 40s. I don't know if it was 41, somewhere in that range.
Okay.
41, 42. Because I can remember as a junior in high school, there was what they used to call the Old Home Prize. And I wrote an essay about the Naval Air Base. It was a big farm before it was Naval Air Base.
Okay.
And I wrote an essay about that. And I won, because I had the highest average in history and English, I wrote this essay.
Uh-huh.
And I got this pendant. OHP on it.
Oh,
the Old Home Prize.
Old Home Prize. That's neat. That's great. Now, I want to also talk about, since we're still in your childhood, I don't want to leave that for a minute because your childhood was so interesting. I know that you are very capable in a lot of arts and crafts. So as a small girl in your household, where did you learn and what kind of things were taught to you to do with your hands? Because there were no TVs, so
no,
you either worked, went to school, played outside, or you did what else?
Well, I used to like to saw things.
Okay.
He's my father's saw, and I like to sew.
Okay.
I learned to sew on my mother's old Singer sewing machine, and I have that right now upstairs in the attic.
Now, how old were you when they started teaching you the different crafts? And tell me about all these different crafts.
Well, my mother taught me crocheting.
She did.
And I was then about maybe, let's see, about 10. 9 or 10, because I remember doing some crochet work, some embroidery work, and some tufting of the American flag as a wall decoration.
What's the tufting?
When you make a big bit of yarn and sew the yarn to the foundation.
Okay.
And I made the American flag.
Oh, wow.
And I still have that upstairs in the attic.
Wow.
I won some blue ribbons down at Keller Fair.
Wow. That's so neat.
I was in the 4-H Club.
Uh-huh.
And did part of these things as my project.
Fantastic.
And then I started to sew when I was in the 8th grade. I believe it was the 8th grade, maybe it was the 9th. We had home economics. But I was a business student, and business students were not to take home economics.
Okay.
We had a study hall at that time.
You had special curriculum then?
Yes.
For business students?
Bookkeeping and typing.
Yeah, what did they expect girls to do in school? Where did they kind of
Either you became a secretary.
Okay.
A bookkeeper. Or else you went on to college and became a teacher.
Okay.
Those were about the three things that women could do.
Okay.
So,
how about the guys? Where?
Well,
what was happening to them?
It wasn't a great deal as they went away to college, because being a waterman's area here, they either went in doing waterman's things, or else they had to go away to get further education to become anything to speak of. In fact, that's why I left here, because there were no jobs.
Okay.
But I can remember doing the sewing, sewing feed bags. We had feed bags from where we got the feed for the cattle.
Okay.
And
you want to tell us a little bit about those feed bags?
We there were some that were just plain colors. There were some that had flowers on them. So the ones that had flowers on them, they were border print. And we made pillowcases out of those. The ones that were plain color, I made, I can remember making a dirndl skirt and a top out of that. And wore it for years, because those things would wear forever.
Uh-huh.
And my mother did not like me using her sewing machine, but she let me use it anyhow. And I began sewing, and I've been sewing ever since.
Oh, that's fantastic. And I have to add to this that she has helped a lot of us learn how to crochet, and she keeps encouraging us, and she's a good teacher. Did they do tatting?
You know what tatting is? I know what tatting is, but I never learned to tat.
Okay.
I crocheted. I taught myself to knit from a book. Says learn how.
Fantastic.
And I taught myself to knit.
Uh-huh.
And I knitted a lot of things.
Fantastic.
And when Mom was teaching me to crochet, we had some sort of a contract with some company. We made babies clothes.
Uh-huh.
Little bonnets and little sweaters for babies.
Uh-huh.
And sent them to this company. I don't know what company it was. All I know is I crocheted with the yarn, and Mom sent them off.
Oh, that's so neat.
And we earned a few extra pennies, dollars, whatever.
So that was the basic thing of that day, was you did everything you could as a family to generate an income to stay alive, basically.
To pay the bills.
To pay the bills, right. But talking about bills, I want to talk about that for a few minutes. What was the bill system like in those days? When you went to, like, to a store or to different places around the island, did you have to pay as soon as the product or whatever was given to you?
No, it was on credit.
Okay, tell me a little bit about that.
I had a little book for each family, and it would write down whatever you got. And you didn't have, they didn't have to worry about it, they got paid. When you got, at the end of the week, you go and settle up.
So they trusted.
Trusted. And the same way with the milk. We trusted the customers. And we would go on Saturday and collect for what they had gotten for that week.
Okay. I'm going to stop right now, Delia, and turn this over. We're at the end of this side, and I'll be back in a moment. Delia, I had asked you about credit on the island, and can you compare the idea of credit then and credit now? Do people trust each other today like they did in those days? Can you talk about that? Can you expound on that a little bit, please?
Well, I don't think people trust each other today as much as they did then. We were almost like a family on Shifting Island. You did for the people. You knew people who couldn't afford And so you forgot that they owed you anything. Because they were needy. They needed something. But it didn't matter if they couldn't pay that at the end of the week. It just carried over to the next week or until they could pay you. Because everybody trusted everybody else. You never locked your doors. Because nobody would steal anything from you. We were all poor people. This was Depression era. We were all poor people, but we were poor people together. We didn't have any rich people looking down their noses at the poor people. We were all poor people together. So we trusted. Today, people don't trust each other. You lock your doors. You're afraid somebody's going to steal something from you. You lock things up in the barn or in the garage or whatever you have. Because you don't dare leave it out because somebody's going to come take it from you.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting point. And whatever you had, did you share with your neighbors?
Well, I'll tell you about this time sharing with the neighbors. It was the March 33 storm. Yeah, not March, August.
August
1933.
Okay, I know nothing about that, so if you can fill me in on that, I know.
It was a hurricane.
Okay.
And the tide came up within 50 feet of our house. So a lot of people were flooded out. So we had people here, I don't know who all they were, but they came here because we were on high ground. And they stayed with us. And they ate whatever we had. We had a lot of bean soup or whatever, but they ate whatever we had. And we were glad to give it to them. There was no black and white. I realized that the colored people, we call them, I realized that they thought that they should get off the sidewalk if I walked down the sidewalk. I didn't feel that way, but they felt that way. But they respected us. I had colored people who lived across the street. We walked up toward school, and they went to their own school.
They had their own school. Where was that at?
Where the Seashell Motel is now.
Okay, and what was the name of that school?
I don't remember the name. It's just color school is what we called it.
Okay.
And they had church in that general area, too.
Did they have a church down in this area also?
Yes, right across the street. And there were people.
Do you remember the name of that?
No, but I remember people from the mainland who would come and go to that church. And they would come, and we would have them eat dinner with us. Mm-hmm. And they had a formal for the mainland. And what they would do, when strawberries came in, they would bring us strawberries. When they dug potatoes, they would bring us potatoes. Whatever they had, they would bring to us. But we ate at the same table. There was no differentiation of colored and white. We were all just people mm-hmm. trying to survive.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
And the people, the little girl across the street, she looked out for me. She's a little older than I was. Then we had family next door to us. And she said to one of the girls who was trying to intimidate me, said, "You better leave Miss Bailey alone, because if you don't, I'll beat you up."
Oh, and she was a black girl?
Yes.
Black girl.
Yes.
Okay. Wow. That's so neat. So there was more of a mixture in the neighborhood mm-hmm. actually than there is now.
Yes, yes. About five houses up was another black man. Three houses up was Mark Yule and his family.
Okay.
And then three or four more houses up, there was another Yule family. They're all over.
Now, what did they do for occupations?
They worked for other people.
Okay.
Like on the farm, help people. I don't know for sure what Mark Yule did. One of them was a barber.
Okay.
If I remember correctly.
How about that?
That's
interesting because now I don't have any information on that yet either. I'm actually interested in finding out. But I knew Willow Street had.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Pete Cross. And over behind the colored church was Mr. Al Rennie. And Mr. Al Rennie used to like snakes.
Uh-huh.
And he would catch snakes and put them in his shirt, inside his shirt. And go around with snakes inside his shirt.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
He knew that Mr. Pete Cross didn't like snakes.
Uh-huh.
So he hung a string of snakes up in front of Mr. Pete Cross's front door. And Mr. Pete Cross came out and, like, scared him to death.
Oh,
he had all these snakes.
Oh, my word. And he wasn't afraid of them at all?
No.
Then what kind of snakes did you have on the island? Just long noses or still the same?
Water snakes. Yes.
Wow, that is interesting. I have never heard that story. You've never told me that story before. Can you tell me a little bit more about the March 33 storm?
Oh,
what was that name?
It wasn't March, it was August.
August
33. I don't know. It was a hurricane, but I don't remember the name of it. But I can remember Daddy had watermelons planted in the back here.
Okay.
And I can remember them floating up. And I can remember these people coming over and eating soup or whatnot and sleeping on the floor or wherever they could find.
Uh-huh.
Until the tide subsided.
Okay.
And we just shared what we had with all of them.
Wow.
Mom made biscuits and we had bean soup, whatever.
Wow. Yeah, how did your mom feed so many people when she had so many kids? How did she feed?
Well, we had
so many kids.
What did
you eat?
We ate a lot of beans. And my father would go and...
So you're kind of full of beans?
Yes. My father would go and he would go out and he'd get clams, he'd get oysters. He would shoot birds. We'd eat birds. He would get Martian eggs. And we'd have Martian eggs.
Oh, you would?
Yes,
I eat Martians, but I've never had Martian eggs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Are they good?
Yes.
Really?
Small eggs, almost like chicken eggs. At just a little different flavor, but...
Uh-huh. Did you have chickens here? I never asked.
We had some chickens. We had guineas, too.
Okay.
But we had mostly the little bantams.
Uh-huh.
And then when I was, I guess, about 10th grade, I was in partnership with my dad. Actually, sold the dairy herd.
Uh-huh.
We had white acorns, and we had the eggs.
Oh, wow.
Hens with eggs, we sold the eggs.
Fantastic.
I did the work, and he supplied the funds, and we shared the profits.
Fantastic. You had your own little business.
Oh, yes.
Good for you.
Anything. Small, we wanted a little extra money. I'd churn butter with whatever cream was left and sell the butter. I'd go blackberry picking and sell the blackberries. Whatever to get a few cents to help out with the bills.
Oh, fantastic.
And then when I was, I guess, 10th grade into 11th grade, I worked for Railway Express with Mr. and Mrs. Ralph Laws.
Okay, tell me a little bit about that.
That's when we used to ship all the clams and things by boat over to Franklin City.
Okay.
And then they would get the train at Franklin City and go a lot of them to Altoona, Pennsylvania. I can remember that name.
Wow. But that was a neat job, and you got to see a lot of people and meet a lot of people and kind of like be in the commercial part of the island. That's really interesting. So tell me about the bridge. When did the bridge come in? Like 1928?
I wasn't born, I don't think, when it came in.
Okay.
But it was better. It didn't have to be trucks, the big tractor trailers that they have now. So it was cheaper to send all this seafood by rail. Because you didn't have the big trucks.
Okay.
So they sent it by barge over to Franklin City.
Did a lot of people on the island have vehicles at that time? Or did you still have a lot of horses and cars?
People had cars.
They did?
Yes. A number of people had cars. But the roads were bumpy.
Okay. What were the roads made of?
Just the shells and things.
What kind of shells?
Oyster shells, clam shells, whatever we had.
That's good. Wow. How about spiritually, what was the island like at that time?
Well, I think that probably...
We're talking about 1930s.
Even more so than now. Because if you had a death in the family, all your neighbors came, fixed your meals, did things in your house for you, just to help you. While you were in the grieving process, that your mind was not on, well, I've got to do this and this and this.
Things, right, the daily chores.
People would come and help you.
Okay. So the neighborhoods, do you think they were close?
They were closer than they are now. I know the name of the girl across to her first name, but I'm not sure of her last name.
Uh-huh.
Now, I've spoken with her a number of times.
Uh-huh.
But that's about it. And I know some of the people in the church. And I'm getting to remember some of the people that I knew when I was here before I left home.
So was church life a big part of the life here?
Indeed. Indeed. You went to church, you went to Sunday school, you went to church, and then in the evening at church we had the youth group, more or less, in the evening. Of course, adults came too. But I remember doing the message when I was just a teenager, doing the Methodist church. And we would travel, and we had a bus that took us that was rented by the church. And I can remember going over to the Atlantic Methodist Church and giving a message one time.
Wow, that's really neat. So the youth were very involved at that time spiritually. And there's another thing I noticed. Now, what year were you born?
29.
There was another thing that I noticed about the people then, or the people who were children then, is a lot of them still speak using things from the Bible. So what was the impact of the Bible on people at that time?
You didn't have a library like that, no.
So did people know the Word?
They knew the Word because that was a part of family life. You had prayers together.
As a family?
As a family. And a lot of times, the person who could read better would read the Bible out loud to the rest of us. My father graduated from high school. One of three people when he graduated. Not many men graduated from high school at that time.
So what grade did high school go up to at that time?
Oh, 11th grade when I was in high school. And I assumed that when my father got there. I never did ask him. But 11th grade.
So you were one of the last classes that went to 11th grade.
That's right. But we got, in those 11 years, what they get in 12 now, probably even more. I had a year of law.
Wow.
Mrs. Tillman taught us law.
Uh-huh.
And it was more or less commercial law because we were in, that was a part of the curriculum for those.
And then you needed it here on the island, right?
Yes.
Oh, that's really cool. That's really neat.
But I had her in 7th grade, then she moved up to high school.
Uh-huh. Wow.
So I had her there too.
Fantastic. That's neat. Now, I know that you were born 1929, so I don't know if you remember too much about the Depression.
Just that we didn't have anything.
You didn't have anything?
No extra money or anything to do. In fact, we got one pair of shoes a year. And we wore them for church the first year. Next year, we took them for school.
Uh-huh.
So, we had to make do. And hand-me-downs. I went to the prom, both the junior year and the senior, in a hand-me-down gown that one of my mother's friends gave her for me.
Wow. Did your mom make a lot of the clothes?
My mother didn't sew that much.
She didn't sew that much because she was too busy and didn't have time. So you had hand-me-downs that came from other people.
And whatever I wore, I would hand down to my sisters. And they were used by several of the girls until they were worn out.
Wow. Now, what were funerals like in those times? I know it sounds like an unusual subject for me to bring up, but what were funerals like at that time?
There were some people that had, I think people today would call it a wake in the home.
I was going to say, because they didn't have funeral homes then, did they?
They didn't have, as such, a funeral home. They had undertakers that would embalm the body, but oftentimes the dead person would be lying, if you want to say, in the living room.
And the living room was like a parlor?
Well, the living room, at that time, you had two. One was the parlor, one was the living room. It could be in the parlor.
What was the parlor used for?
You didn't go in there that much. Just for special things.
Like what?
Maybe if the minister came, you might have him in the parlor.
Right, for just special people. Visitors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In the parlor. I can remember Grandma having the parlor and then the living room that she ultimately slept in. They moved her bed downstairs, actually, over it.
Okay.
But she had a piano in the parlor, but she also had one in the living room.
Okay. So when they had funerals, they either had the person in state in the living room or the parlor. Okay.
And then, you know, they would have service
in the house.
Or else they would take them to church. Some people took them to church and had service at church.
Wow. So was there a special, there wasn't there a funeral home or someplace where people were embalmed on Main Street? I want to say the Clark House.
Could have been.
I think that Elvis pointed out to me before.
Okay. Could have been. Nice.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. All right. So do you think that the Depression had a big impact on the people of the island, or because the people were already kind of self-sufficient and lived off of the land and the things that God put here, like they had gardens, they had, they could hunt, they could fish. Do you think the Depression had a great impact on the people of the island here?
I think they were better off than people in the city because they had their own gardens. They could fish, they could hunt. They could crab, they could get oysters. And they knew, because they had lived this way all their lives, they knew how to do this. People in the cities went to the store and got whatever they needed, which was fine, but they didn't have a garden. And if they didn't have much money, what were they going to buy?
Did pretty much everyone on the island, most men usually put a garden in, or most homes?
Most people had gardens.
That's what I thought. Because I noticed that, you know, the generation, maybe in the 60s and the 70s, a lot of the men in our neighborhood still had gardens. Do a garden right now. They
mm-hmm.
still...
And had lima beans on poles.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. They would put a pole and put a fence or lines,
uh-huh.
and the lima beans would grow up, and they would harvest them. And, of course, they also had bush limas. But I can remember them putting up
uh-huh.
and having the corn. You would plant the corn this row, you would plant this week. The next row, you would plant the next week, so it wouldn't all come off at the same time.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't all
wow.
be right at the same time.
Well, that's neat. Now, as far as going back to the dairy farm just for a minute, I know I'm a little all over the place. Did you have to pasteurize them? Was there anything that special?
No pasteurization, no homogenization. It was grade A raw milk.
Okay.
But the state did supervise it, and all the cattle had to have tags in their ears. They were inspected, and they had to have tags in their ears. And if anybody came from the state and you were milking the cow that didn't have a tag in the ear, then you got in trouble.
Okay. And did they have any kind of vaccinations or inoculations or anything like that?
Nothing that I remember
okay.
about.
And they were never tested for anything?
Yeah, the milk was tested. That's why you got this tag in the
okay.
ear. No, it was tested, and you were allowed so many whatevers per cc, whatever that was at the time.
Okay.
But they tested for every cow.
For every cow.
Well,
that's good.
That's how you maintain the tag in the ear and maintain your status as a good place for milk.
Well, I'll let you know, I just learned how to milk a cow this past January.
Yeah,
you were doing it by the time you were 5 years old. I highly admire you and think that you're one of the smartest people that I know.
Index finger to the middle finger.
And what was your favorite cow's name?
Old Rose.
Old Rose?
Old Rose. She was a Jersey.
It was she?
And her milk had a lot of cream in it.
Uh-huh.
And she was as gentle as could be, Old Rose was.
Wow.
And she gave probably more milk than any other cow we had.
Wow, that's neat. That's really neat. That's super. All right, now I'm going to take you to the carnival grounds. You live behind the carnival grounds on Willow Street, but I know that you've mentioned to me that the carnival wasn't there in the...
No.
It wasn't located in this area in the 30s. And
they've had two or three places for carnival. One year, I don't know, it was just 1 year or maybe two, it was down near where is it called Shinkity Inn?
Right.
Down on that property, Mr. Paul Bowden had a service station in that area.
My Paul Bowden from Beebe Road?
No,
another.
He used to live on Hill Street.
Okay, I'm going to go, we had to take a time out there for a second. We're going back to the carnival grounds. You said it was down where the Shingatig Inn is now. What was the carnival like in those days?
Well, it wasn't nearly as big as it is now. And pony pinning wasn't as big as it is now. But that was the highlight of the year on Shingatig, was pony pinning in the carnival.
Uh-huh.
But before it was on the area there by Shingatig, the restaurant, it was up in back of where the movie is now.
The movie theater?
Uh-huh.
Where the Roxy is
yeah.
now? It was behind
by on Mumford Street, Main Street, Mumford Street.
Oh, there weren't all those houses?
No.
Wow. Now, I had a friend whose name was Dorothy, and she told me, actually, that at one time they used to have races, swimming races, and it was...
I don't remember that.
Okay. So I know that she had won several times for her swimming ability, and that was during the carnival time. All right, what other kind of things? Did they have rides, or did they have special features or special events?
All kinds of rides.
Like what?
And with the merry-go-round, which was really a favorite.
Was it beautiful?
Yes, and the Ferris wheel, those were the two really good ones.
Okay.
They didn't have the kiddie rides like they have now.
Uh-huh.
A lot of places they have kiddie rides, like in Ocean City places, but they didn't have the two major things, the Ferris wheel and the merry-go-round. But they had oyster sandwiches.
Good.
Always had oyster sandwiches.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And you had popcorn.
Oh, the caramel popcorn?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They had all kinds of things that you could do. And the kids took sodas, of course. In the bottles, not in the
Right. Now it tastes so much better in the bottles. I love sodas in the bottles. Okay. And did they have games or did they have
bingo?
They had bingo. Okay.
Yes. Uh-huh. And then they had they've had that wheel for a long time. They spin the wheel and you put your money up and
and see if the number comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I thought I heard from Elby that they used to have special shows that came in from other places.
It could have been almost like a carnival that comes in and has shows like you've seen with carnivals that go around all over the country.
Yeah, this was like, didn't they have that diving horse? And didn't they have special...
I don't know about the diving horse. The diving horse was over in Atlantic City.
Right.
I know that, but I don't remember them having a diving horse. It might have been after I left.
Okay, so did they have special singers that came?
Yes.
They had special entertainment at night?
Entertainment with the singers and that.
Did anybody really famous come through at any time?
I don't remember.
Okay. All right. That's good. All right. Now, how much did milk cost back then?
Well, we delivered milk for, I think it was 8 cents a quart.
Okay.
4 cents a pint.
Wow. And you sold butter to them?
Yeah. That was...
What's your business?
My business. I would ask if they wanted any butter, and they knew that I made it. So they say to me, hey, when you come with my milk on such and such day, would you bring me a pound of butter?
Uh-huh.
So that's what we did.
All right. And now, you live on Willow Street, and I understand at one time there was a bakery on Willow Street. Do you remember anything about the bakery?
I just remember that we delivered milk there, and we got day-old bread for almost nothing. And that's what we would do. And I remember that the son of the owner, if I remember correctly, developed polio.
Uh-huh.
And I remember him walking on crutches. But I can't remember the names.
Wow. So, did this bakery, did they deliver bread?
No,
or
you went to the bakery to get it.
Okay. All right. Good. What did the men of the island do? Did they get together at the end of the day any place, or...
Not like going over to McDonald's in the morning.
Okay. You know, so what kind of fellowship did they have, or what kind of socialization did the men have?
They might meet uptown somewhere near on a storefront or something, and talk. You know.
Uh-huh. Talk about what?
Any kind of gossip or what happened during the day, or there's good fishing out somewhere, or.
Okay.
I think they told them, they're keeping it to themselves, that, boy, they're catching fish over wherever it is.
Uh-huh. So do they have any fish stories, too?
Oh, yes. You should have seen the one that got away.
All right. How about the women as far as socialization other than church?
Well,
did they have any?
Sewing. They did quilts and things, the quilting bees.
Okay.
Of course, my mother wasn't in any of that because she was busy with things here.
Right. And with her store.
Yeah.
Now, wallpapering was a big thing because I know many of the places here have had like layers and layers and layers of wallpaper. Right. So, was that like a big thing for the women when that came in?
Well, they would try to do it themselves. My mother used to wallpaper, and I wallpapered.
Uh-huh.
And you had two ways of wallpapering. Either you butted, put the two pieces together, or you overlapped.
Right.
And if you overlapped, you would tell my mother, cut it with the edge so that we overlap.
Okay.
And if you weren't going to overlap, you're going to butt, say, cut the entire edge off.
Okay.
So when my mother ran the roll of paper through the cutter, she would know whether to do set the cutter for the overlap or for butting.
Okay. Now what would they use for paste?
Flour and water. Yes.
That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it, I imagine it was a bear to try to put that wallpaper up at times, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any funny stories about when you put it up?
Well, I know when I put it up one time. I know I put this piece of paper up 6 or 7 times before I ever got it straight. And that paste was, I had to repaste it, in fact, in order to get it up. But it would just want to fall back on me. I had paste all in my hair, all over my clothes.
Uh-huh.
I had a broom I used to do ceilings with.
Uh-huh.
You start it on one end and you make sure it was straight on the one end and you brush it and brush it and brush it.
Well, that's one thing I remember about the Shingadig, old Shingadig homes. There were layers and layers of wallpaper and everybody painted their furniture in this mint green color. And there were layers and layers of paint.
Paint, yes.
On all the furniture. So if you ever wanted to refinish anything, you really had to have a lot of elbow grease. And I don't know where they sold elbow grease at, but you needed it. All right. Now, you told me that you left the island and you went to Delaware.
Yes.
Where did you end up in Delaware and how did you meet your husband?
Well, my sister's husband was stationed at Fort Miles, which is right outside of Lewis, Delaware. And so they lived in a little cabin in Lewis. So there were no jobs here. She says, come on up here. There are jobs here. So I went up there, and I would always eat my meals with her. But I had a room to with the girl next door to where her cabin was. And that girl wanted her room to herself again, so I got a room over a bathroom upstairs, like in the attic part.
Uh-huh.
And stayed there for a while. And then when my sister went to Rehoboth, I roomed with her there in a house that didn't have heat. And then we moved back to the quarters that the Army had and stayed there. And then my brother-in-law was transferred. So then I stayed with a captain and his wife. She had a new baby, and I stayed there and helped her. And then I moved to a private home.
Wow.
And I got a job working for the bank,
uh-huh.
Sussex Trust. And I worked there for a year or so, doing secretarial work and then helped the trust department. And I can remember a funny thing. This man had a taxi company. And he had a check come through that he didn't have sufficient funds. So I called him. And he came right up, put money in, made the check good. And he said he wouldn't know who it was calling. So they told him. Well, the next day he came back with a 5-pound bag of sugar. And this is when sugar was rationed. You couldn't get sugar.
Uh-huh.
So I had sugar.
Wow. That's a big thing.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I know. That was a very big thing.
Yes.
Wow. How about that? Well, I am going to stop here because it's coming to the end of the tape. I just want to thank you so much, and I would like to get together with you again because I've only just begun. But I just thank you for inviting me into your home, allowing me to be here, and talking about your life on Shingadig Island. I'm sure that this tape will bless a lot of people. Just thank you for it.
You're welcome.